Well, good morning, Justin.
Good morning, sir.
Today is November 10th, 2021, and we're here at the Gateway Center in Metro Atlanta. My name is Daniel Enger, and I have the pleasure of being here today with Justin. Thank you very much for taking time to talk. I'm looking forward to hearing your story and to learning from you. And my first question for you, Justin, is a really big one, namely, could you please tell the story of your life from this time you were a small child up to the present day?
Sure. I moved to Metro Atlanta when I was 11 years old with my family, who I had mentioned consisted of myself, brother 2 to 3 years younger than me, and a sister 10 years younger than me. We grew up in Gwinnett County, which is about 45 minutes east of here. And I grew up in a middle class family. I had parents that both worked for AT&T full time. I had a pretty good childhood. There were some traumatic experiences along the way that were perhaps a bit out of the norm. But all in all, I had a really good childhood. I did well in school. I got my first job when I was 15 at McDonald's, and have worked my entire adult life up until about a year and a half ago. But I have one son who is now 14, which I can't believe. He's now 14 years old, and that's my heart. That's sort of my motivation for just about everything in life. I had worked off and on a lot of blue collar work, a lot of landscaping. I did welding for a while. I had done some tree work, some account management and things like that. And I attended school after high school and was able to get a degree, which was pretty fruitful for me. I had never really had to want. I had done pretty well the majority of my life, and was able to take care of myself. Yeah. I had mentioned about a year and a half ago, I had lost my leg, and I came directly from the hospital to the Gateway Center. And I've been here ever since. I've been here the last 14, 15 months, and have spent 90% of my time in Fulton County for the last year and a half or so. I still have family in Gwinnett County that I visit often, as much as possible. My brother and my sister have gone on to have many children and have gotten married. They're doing well for themselves. And all in all, with the exception of homelessness and sort of economic heartache, I'm excited about life. I enjoy living life. I really do. I enjoy all the little things. I enjoy human interaction, just like everyone else, and genuinely get excited about what the future holds and what the possibilities and the potential hold. You know, being withdrawn, I guess, from mainstream society to a degree hasn't necessarily impacted my lust for life, shall we say.
Justin, of all the things you've accomplished or overcome in your life so far, what are you most proud of?
Oh, hands down, the greatest accomplishment of my life, who I had mentioned earlier, is my son and the young man that he's become. I have many things that I'm proud about and that I've accomplished. My religion is very important to me. Faith is extremely important to me. And I think I've come a long way in that regard as well. But if I had to narrow down a specific quality, it would be the inception of my child. Yeah.
Justin, you've gained a lot of hard-fought wisdom from experiences in your life so far. If you were invited to share your wisdom with school kids in your community, giving them guidance to live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives, what would you tell them?
Wow, that's a great question. I would tell them that they're perfect exactly the way they are, and that they should be proud of who they are, and continue to fulfill what makes them happy, and don't be scared to speak on what makes you unhappy or what makes you sad, because that's sort of half the story, isn't it? Say, you know, there's no good without bad, so you've got to sort of act on both of those emotions, and it's okay to feel both of those emotions, you know.
Justin, in what ways would you say that your life is going well these days? Please talk a little bit about how life is good for you at the present time.
Oh, life is good. I wake up every morning. I can see. I got both my hands. I can speak. I can eat good food. There's many things to be excited about. Every day literally is offers the promise of endless possibilities. You know, and it's only maybe until the last couple of years that I've honestly realized that concept. But just the ability to sort of do whatever you want on any given day. You know, we live in an amazing place called America that allows us to have all of those sort of beautiful qualities to fulfill and live every day, you know.
Justin, what led to those things going well for you? How did this happen? Who or what has contributed most to your doing well these days?
The Lord, my faith, family, the sort of friends, the same sort of elements that I suppose influence a lot of people doing well. I guess their, you know, their inner circle, their family and loved ones, and then of course that thing we call drive that sort of we all have, maybe some more than others, but we all have it, I think, to a certain degree. Just internal motivation, you know.
Justin, when it comes to living a healthy, safe, stable, and happy life, what are your hopes and dreams looking ahead?
To live as freely and independently as possible. To be able to provide, again, and you'll hear my son come up a lot, but to be able to provide for him and offer him opportunity is huge. Just the essentials. I'm a fairly simple guy. Just the basic essentials: food, shelter, water, clothing, the ability to groom, things like that. I'm pretty content given that those things are fulfilled, I'm I'd be pretty happy if all those things were in place and were a constant, you know.
Justin, what are some of the personal strengths that you draw on as you pursue your hopes and dreams?
Faith, family, hopefully a little bit of intelligence, maybe with a twist of charisma, you know, maybe I can just pull it off.
What challenges and obstacles do you see standing between you and the realization of those hopes and dreams? What holds you back?
Newly being handicapped and having to accept that has been sort of a big hurdle for me. I was always a fairly active guy, and I've sort of been limited to a degree physically, but I think the body sort of compensates whenever, if you've ever heard like a blind person will have their sense of taste or their sense of touch becomes accentuated. I've sort of experienced a similar scenario in that sort of my mind and my soul, I think, have sort of compensated for maybe not having a limb and sort of have become stronger in a sense. And being handicapped has been probably the most recent large obstacle that I'm sort of continuously working on and trying to tackle.
When it comes to challenges and obstacles related to being handicapped, what needs to be overcome so that you can realize your personal hopes and dreams?
Again, a fairly simple guy, so just having insurance, having access to just basic help from a health standpoint, maybe even having a prosthetic leg, being able to walk again would be absolutely huge. As much as I'm not really a money person, it's sort of an essential component to life. I mean, it is what it is, and having funds, I don't receive any sort of Social Security or anything like that, so I guess maybe getting disability or something of that nature would probably improve my quality of life significantly.
Justin, I'd like to shift, please, to your perspectives on the homeless community with the first question. How would you describe the homeless community? Who are the people who make up the homeless community in Atlanta?
Great question. Having sort of been brought up my entire life in a very middle class mindset and surroundings, I've learned a lot in the last year and a half, and I've met some of the most kind, vulnerable, compassionate people in my entire life, you know. So. It's not sort of what you what you see on the DB, you know. It's people just like your next door neighbor or your boss. It's your brother or your sister, you know. It's good people with big hearts. sorry, I didn't mean to get choked up. It's really good, people. They, you know, they have needs and wants and desires and passion, just like everyone else, you know. Sometimes maybe they don't have the voice to speak up. You know, or there's no one there to listen, you know. All of those things come into play. The sort of reality that that the homeless population chooses to be that way, or that they've all got a sort of debilitating mental health disorder or a drug problem. Yes, all of that exists, but it's a very small percentage of the population. You know, they just happen to be the loudest sometimes. So maybe that's the visual that a lot of people get. But by and large, it's good people that have led really good lives that have just come under unfortunate circumstances, you know. That's been my experience anyways.
Justin, when it comes to living a healthy, safe, stable, and happy life, how would you describe the hopes and dreams of people in the homeless community?
Oh, they're just the same as anyone else's. You know, there's sort of the same dreams to succeed and want to do well and support humanity, and I mean all of the things that anybody else wants. You know, people are people, and they still have those desires. Again, from a lot of people that are homeless typically haven't been homeless for a long time, so there's really no text or book to pick up to be able to teach you how to get out of being homeless. And you know, part of the reason why I'm doing this interview is that ultimately there's just not enough resources for the volume of people to adequately handle sort of the situation. And even if you can just help one or two, that'd be huge, you know.
Justin, in the homeless community, what are some of the strengths that people draw on as they strive to realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives?
I don't think it's all that different from, you know, the strength that anybody else would draw on. You know, you'll continuously hear me speak on faith. That's huge. People, your faith becomes strengthened when you sort of go through difficult or tough times, because you're sort of forced to confront your relationship with your spirituality, whatever that may be, you know. So that's huge. But again, they want to see their family succeed. They want to provide for their families. They want to have friends and, you know, relationships and to make others happy, just like anyone else would. You know, surprisingly, the sort of motivation is that is very much outward. You'd be surprised how many people that have nothing will give literally the shirt off their back to someone that's cold, or you know, their last sandwich to someone that's hungry. So there's an innate need to care for the man next to you or the woman next to you, you know, and you'll see that time and time again, the sort of sense of community that we are all in this together, you know, and you'd be surprised how kind absolute strangers can be sometimes.
Justin, what are some of the challenges and obstacles that make it harder for people in the homeless community to realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives? What holds people back?
Well, you sort of become fixated on just essential survival. You know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this neighborhood, but this can be a pretty spooky place. You know, this just when you're constantly concerned about your safety. I mean, you know, hats off to the women and children out here that are out here alone, and I see them every day. They're out here. I believe me, they're out here. Just constantly having to be concerned with falling victim to, you know, physical violence, predators. I mean, all that stuff goes on here. I mean, this is where you're at. It's sort of the epicenter. I mean, I'm not sure if you've ever seen the show The First 48, but that building is just right there. You know what I mean? That's where you're at. You know what I mean? When you don't really have time to be concerned with hopes and dreams when you're starving, if that makes sense, or when you haven't slept in 3 days because you don't feel safe, or because it's raining out and you're soaking wet for days on end, you don't really have the luxury of really being concerned with anything else other than surviving that moment, you know. And that's sort of a huge obstacle, you know. And again, the resources that are in place are really good people that have good intentions. It's just unfortunate that there's not enough of them. And I don't want to take away from the work that those people do in places like Gateway, which has personally saved my life. Gateway has saved my life. And I don't want to take away from the massive accomplishment that those people have done, but there's just not enough of them, unfortunately. For every man that has a bed here at Gateway and is fed 3 meals a day, there's probably 5 or 10 that don't, you know? And that's the reality of the situation. We're sort of the few small lucky percentage that have a place where we can talk about hopes and dreams, and I don't have an empty stomach, or, you know, I'm well rested, and I mean, just those simple basic necessities, you know?
Justin, you just spoke of some challenges and obstacles that make it harder for people in the homeless community to realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives. From your perspective, what needs to be done to overcome those challenges and obstacles?
Wow, I guess that's the question, isn't it? You know, I sort of touched on the physical component of having to eat and sleep, but the mental component of being homeless is debilitating at times. You have a very strong sense that you are, in a sense, removed from society, from mainstream society, and I don't necessarily think that feeling is without reason. I think that you're sort of swept under the rug because people don't want to see it or don't know how to deal with it, and you're sort of forgotten about, you know. And I think that putting sometimes people in place just to, just to listen maybe, or have a an open-minded, unbiased person to sort of talk to and maybe even help direct the sort of path that's needed to take, even if they can't offer all of those resources. Just, again, homeless people are very confused about their situation. Nobody plans on being homeless. Therefore, there's no game plan in place that they've ever put together to get out of being homeless. So maybe someone just a sort of mediator to offer some sort of sense of direction would be huge. I mean, and then of course there are all of the other things, you know, just basic government services that could really do a lot more. You know, I mean, it's not, these people are not lazy. It's not that they don't want to work. Nobody wants to hire someone that doesn't have a phone or an address to, you know what I mean? There's sort of these, just, you'll see it time and time again, that there's these obstacles in place. You know, go get a job. Quit asking me for money, go get a job. When you have no money, sometimes that $1 is huge. I mean, that's lunch, or, you know, that's huge, and not everybody can just go get a job. They want to work. It's just a very strong misconception that that these are either inadequate for work or you know, in my case, I've worked my entire life. I would love to work, but I unfortunately I can't right now. But yeah, I mean, I could go on and on about that one. I think we could sit here for days and probably debate that topic. I mean, there's a lot. I just think more resources and as a whole, from the standpoint of just tending to people's basic essential needs. You know, just if you can sort of take that weight off someone's shoulders of not having to revert back and live essentially like a caveman, then you open up their whole mindset as far as what you mean. You know, you can take someone's life from 0 to 100 by just simply nourishing their bodies, you know.
Justin, imagine for a moment that you are a powerful leader, a decision maker who can really make things happen. How would you change the system to help people in the homeless community realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives? As a powerful leader, how would you change the system?
How would I change the system? Well, I won't be running for president anytime soon, but if I was, I mean, just, again, the things that ordinary people take for granted, I mean, education is huge. I mean, education is huge. Either just, not even for a piece of paper or a certificate or for a job, but just to sort of enhance people's mindset, and sort of motivate them. Education is huge. Healthcare has to be dealt with. There's so many people I see every day out here that just need medication, and they would be fine. Access to healthcare is, I mean, that's been an issue in this country for a long time, and I don't think it's going anywhere anytime soon, because healthcare, you know, I mean, it just stinks when you see people pass away or people wind up in the hospital day after day after day out here because they don't have access to insulin, or they're schizophrenic and their medication hasn't been filled. It just these basic sort of necessities that that could be prevented, you know. There's got to be some sort of option to work or some sort of pathway to help people find jobs in this situation. Because again, if you don't have a contact number and you don't have an address to sort of go off of, well then you fall short. You're sort of certainly not going to be an employer's first go-to or pick. And that's sort of the vicious cycle, is that you sort of want to do better, but you know, if you go to one of the free clinics, there's a 4-hour wait, and maybe you can't wait 4 hours, or maybe you've got another appointment at the food stamp office, or at, you know, there just needs to be easier access and a more practical way for education, jobs, and healthcare. I think if I was to narrow it down, and those three things have got to shift somehow. If sort of the quality of life of your society is what you're trying to improve, you sort of are forced to focus on those three things, you know.
Justin, imagine you had $1 million that you could spend to help the homeless community realize their hopes and dreams and live healthy, safe, stable, and happy lives. How exactly would you spend that money?
Again, I'm not a big money guy. I never really have been. But I also have the realization that it's a vital component to just get by. I wouldn't need $1 million. I just wouldn't need it. Around here we call it breaking bread. You know, I would give it. I would somehow implement a strategy to maybe give even just small loans to people that they could perhaps work, just to get them up off the ground, literally. And assist them maybe in getting work or providing funds for a lawyer so they get the Social Security they need, and then pay that money back, which these people would absolutely do if given that opportunity. The 1% of the predators and the drug dealers and the murderers, which are absolutely out here, but they sort of get the limelight. And that's just a very small percentage of the people that are actually out here. Most of these people are honest, trustworthy, good people, you know, and want to do better. And, you know, just paying someone's rent for a year or something of that nature. I think you would be genuinely surprised at how you would see that sort of scenario be paid forward by those people once they got up on their feet. And you would see sort of a domino effect, because I see it already in the little things. I see, you know, people give away, you know, clothes that don't have any. You already got this sense of community in place. If you sort of take that existing structure and were to elaborate on it, you could accomplish a lot. You know what I mean?
Justin, thank you very much.
Okay.